Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Cleopatra Memphis Studios, and I'm your girl, Cleopatra Memphis, but you know what? You can call me Cleo as always, and today it's a wrap Wednesday, and you know what it's a wrap for? It is a wrap for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is this month, the month of October, and we have a special guest we're going to be talking to shortly. Her name is Mrs. Aliette Murray-Drobit. And she is going to give us some word today on how we should handle domestic violence for this month and beyond. But first, let me give you a little history about Domestic Violence Awareness Month and how it came to be. We know that domestic violence is an unfortunate reality that occurs within every class, every group, every race, every religion. It happens in families, friendships, and intimate relationships. Intimate partner violence happens within the same and different sex partnerships. It even happens whether people are married, living together, or dating. Approximately 1 in 4 women have been a victim of domestic violence. And October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, a time established to draw attention to this unspeakable crime in continued efforts to raise awareness and stop the violence. Now, Domestic Violence Awareness Month evolved from the first day of unity observed in October 1981. Yeah, 1981, y'all, that's the year I was born, so no, it is real. 1981 by the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. The intent was to connect battered women's advocates across the nation who were working to end violence against women and their children. The Day of Unity soon became a special week when a range of activities were conducted at a local, state, and national level. In October 1987, the first Domestic Violence Awareness Month was observed. Now, the same year, the first national toll-free hotline had begun, and in 1989, the first Domestic Violence Awareness Month commemorative legislation was passed by the U.S. Congress, and such legislation has been passed every year since, so we're very, very thankful for those advocates and those people. So let's move on to our special guest, Mrs. Aliette Murray-Drobit. Hi, Ms. Aliette, how are you today?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. I am blessed and highly favored and so glad you're here on Cleopatra Memphis Studios. Now, the people may not know who you are, so please introduce yourself.
So I'm Aliette Murray-Drobit. I am the founder and president of Aliette Murray-Drobit Consulting, and I work with provide support to nonprofit organizations. I do executive coaching. I facilitate planning processes, and also I just work with organizations that need some additional help. They may be experiencing growing pains, or they're in a startup phase, and so I provide support for executive leaders and also organizations.
That is amazing. When y'all, I tell you, she is heaven sent and God divinely given a gift to help organize and exalt an organization, she is it. We are both, well, I am from Memphis, and from what I understand, Ms. Aliette, you're from Louisiana, is that correct?
I'm actually from West Memphis, Arkansas.
Okay, that's right. It's West Memphis, Arkansas. Okay. Now, she is from West Memphis, Arkansas. So she is also a native Memphian as well. But I'm going to tell you, meeting her was a great thing to me. She was always very personable, very loving, almost like a mother. You didn't have, if you didn't have a good mama, she would be the one you talk to and lean on. Miss Aliyah would be that person. So I just want people to know of what you did for the Family Safety Center in the Memphis and Shelby County area.
Yeah. So, guys, that probably has been my life work. So the Family Safety Center, it's not a new idea. There are a number of centers across the world. And so the idea is to pull together a number of agencies, all of these agencies to work together. So we're doing a better job in terms of coordinating our support for individual family that may be experiencing domestic violence. So that meant law enforcement, that meant the district attorney's office, social workers, and victim advocates all in one space, all under the same roof, which when you think about it, it's incredible. So because a lot of times when you think about victim advocates, there typically is not a lot of trust in law enforcement or even in prosecutors. So for all of those folks to come together and start working together was pretty incredible. So mm-hmm. I actually was the third executive director at Family Safety Center, but I was pretty much there from the beginning. The other two before me stayed short periods of time. So I was there almost 9 years. So I saw the organization grow. We went from just coordinating services to provide emergency housing to working with law enforcement. So when they went on the scene of a domestic violence situation, that they could call one of the advocates and put them on the phone, so right away that victim would be connected to an advocate. So, yeah,
well, that's amazing. That is amazing because it's so many things that can occur when you're experiencing domestic violence, and that provided a safe space because usually you're at the precinct and you're dealing with, or at the courthouse, and you're dealing with some unfortunate off individual or violent individual that wants to do you and possibly your child harm, whether it's your boyfriend or whomever, husband or whoever. And the Family Safety Center has been a great place to feel safe. It keeps you separate because at one time everything was pushed together and it wasn't taken into the right context. Certain laws and things weren't passed before we got this in even just in Memphis, Tennessee. So it has been a rise mm-hmm. in the awareness and protection for women and children. And I remember Ms. Aliyah going to an event and as one of the people there, survivor and advocate. I remember it was during Christmas and was at the Children's Center, I think. It was absolutely mm-hmm. beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And it gave me a sense of even more of a sense of purpose because when I saw it, it was amazing how many children was there. And I don't have children, thank mm-hmm. God, but I, you know, right now, and I want to have them. I'm going to have them soon. But it just amazed me of how, you know, how at risk those babies are and how happy they were at the event. And they came together, they gave them Christmas gifts. So this has been a beautiful part of the upbringing of these children to give them another path for them not to even recreate what happened in their past. So I am so thankful for the Family Safety Center and you as well to be the right leadership. You can't have someone who doesn't understand. You can't have someone who doesn't care.
Yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that because often when we, talk about domestic violence, a lot of times we forget how that impacts the children in those households. And we know those kids are at greatest risk for becoming victims as adults or perpetrators as adults. And so Yeah, I was excited that the Family Safety Center worked directly with the children, made sure they got access to services. In fact, over time, a summer camp was developed for children who were impacted by domestic violence. A full week on site at a camp with love and support wrapped around them, and so they could use learn some tools. So, you know, when they were feeling depressed, when they were feeling sad, when they were feeling upset, they knew how to manage their, they knew how to manage their emotions. They also had new, additional adults now to lean upon. And then they had new friends, friends that were going through some of the similar, same similar challenges that they were experiencing. So it was a beautiful thing.
Yes, yes. And they have to have that. You have to have people to lean on, even as little people. And as I was saying at one time, we are all interdependent of each other. And if you don't have someone to trust or just someone to sometimes just simply get it out and talk to, whether you're a child, teen, or an adult, it can cause havoc. And a lot of people experience PTSD after those events. It's like being in war every day because you can't sleep, you can't eat. You know, you could possibly have ulcers, all kinds of things that go along with domestic violence that people don't really put out front. But the things that happen behind the scenes that the people who are advocates and the people who are clergy and counselors have to deal with is a whole nother level. So we're thankful that that is there. And it's a difference between being abused and having mental issues. There is a difference. Sometimes you just have to get in a safe place to recover. There is a difference, and there is help out there. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, the critical importance of support, because so many victims feel isolated, and you know, and that's one of the tools that perpetrators use is to isolate that, that victim from friends and family.
And
so,
work.
You know, again, yeah, absolutely. And so, again, that support, that support that you talked about can make the difference from someone, how quickly someone is able to recover from that type of situation is that support surrounding them.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about COVID-19, this pandemic,
yeah,
and how that has changed the trajectory of how women and children can escape and what's available to them. Let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you know, with the, you know, some places, some states experienced the lockdowns. I know here in Memphis, we had folks, you know, restrictive, I would say, movement. And so we were locked down here. And so that for victims, that means that you're locked in with your abuser. You know, you're spending more time with that abuser. So of course, there is now more time for incidents to happen, for the violence to become severe. That is greater isolation for that victim. And then it also reduces the opportunity for this for the victim to seek help, because now they're able to pick up the phone and call someone, right, whether that's a friend or a family member or even 911. So as you mentioned,
right,
too, you know, oftentimes mental health issues and domestic violence go hand in hand, because when someone is experiencing that level of violence, of course there's going to be anxiety, there's going to be depression. So then also on top of that, not only the isolation, but now being at greater risk for incidents, now that victim is also experiencing anxiety and depression as well with the COVID situation. Yeah.
Right. And there is a difference between experience anxiety and depression versus being, you know, having a diagnosis. And
right,
we just did a review on this film called Gaslight, where a woman married a man, and they won an Oscar for this. A woman married a man, and he gaslit her, which is why the psychological term came from, to make her think she was crazy in order to obtain money and abuse her. And that's the thing. They can and will, abusers can and will push you into some form of a mental health care to either control you or to make sure you have no way out. So that's also a part of that, and we can't leave that out. You have both sides of the coin.
Yeah, we call that crazy making. And it becomes critical in the sense that a victim then starts doubting themselves. They start questioning their own decisions, right? When you think you're crazy, it's like, wait a minute, I know this just happened. And your abuser's saying, no, it's all in your head. You're exaggerating things. You're being too sensitive. Then that victim starts to question their own capabilities and their own decisions. Yeah.
And some of them go as to, from some of the cases that I've worked with and talked to, some of them go as so far as to actually get them a mental health care diagnosis, whether they pay for it or coerce someone into it just to have them have no one believe them. So their word is not taken seriously. And that happens consistently, and it has happened over years, and we're just now getting to the point where we can even talk about that. So that's a whole other level of it. So they're abusing the system in order to abuse this one person, whether to get money or just to be abusive altogether, or children, or sometimes just take the children.
Yes, and I saw that all the time at the center, how abusers will use the system against victims, whether that's, calling, they call the law enforcement first. And so, for instance, if he's attacked her and she's, fighting him, trying to protect herself, he may get some scratches, he may get some scratches on him. And oftentimes abusers are fast talkers. Some of them are charming. They can get to the police before she does. He's, kind of weaving this narrative of what has happened. He has scratches on his neck or his hands. And guess what? She is sometimes taken to jail.
Right. Or the child for protecting the mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so many layers. Right. It's so many
it
layers.
It really is.
And so we're so thankful to have Domestic Violence Awareness Month and for people to be able to talk about this and finally have our voices heard as women. We have the hashtag MeToo. We have the hashtag BelieveWomen. We have the all these hashtags, but now we're putting our money where our mouth is. And that's why we have wonderful people like Mrs. Aliette Murray Dropit in the fight. So we're thankful for you and thankful that you continue to do what you do. We're so thankful.
Thank
for that.
You. I believe awareness is so important because oftentimes we feel like we're the only ones dealing with something. We oftentimes feel that we're alone. And when we increase awareness and we have individuals telling their stories, survivors sharing their stories, right? It's like you know there are others out there. And then, it creates a sense of hope that if that person got through this situation, if this person was able to survive an incident or a relationship, that I can do it too.
Right, exactly, because they will still, some of them will be bold enough to still keep coming, and you have to be bold enough to stand in yourself and say, not today, Satan. Not today.
Yeah.
So I am very thankful for that. So can you give us any other resources during the pandemic and anything that people can obtain right now that's possibly available, whether it's in Memphis, Tennessee, or LA, New York, anywhere?
So there's the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So again, someone can always call them. They also have a website. And that number is 1-800-799-7233. There is also the National Domestic Violence Hotline that is 24/7. Every day of the year is confidential. And again, there are advocates that answer that phone. And so, again, if you need to talk to someone right away, you can. So, again, that's 1-800-799-7233. There's also always some folks may be familiar with the YWCA number, and YWCAs are all across the country. They also provide emergency shelter, too. Also, some communities have what we call family safety centers and family justice centers. For instance, Memphis and Shelby County in Tennessee has a family safety center. Again, they're answering their phone calls. They're working directly with law enforcement. So, again, you can access civil legal services, emergency housing, transitional housing. You can make a police report. And so, again, you can access all of those resources under one roof. And that number here in Shelby County is 901-222-4400. And then there's also some additional support for teens that are experiencing domestic violence. I don't think we talk enough about young people that are experiencing domestic violence. So there's a new resource for teenagers, because sometimes teens don't want their parents to know that they're experiencing something. And this is confidential as well. So they can call 1-866-331-9474. Again, 1-866-331-9474. They can also text to that same phone number, Love Is. So, again, they can get confidential support and get the help that they need as well.
Yes. And there are also other apps. From what I understand, there is an app to where if someone is experiencing domestic violence, it was from Dr. Phil's wife, where you can download the app, and if you need help right away and you're experiencing that violence, you can get that help right away. So we're going to have all this information where people can access, and thank you for giving that to us. And I'm just going to wrap this up saying, if you can, we usually do Mind Your Business weekly. If you can, save your money, people. Whatever money you get, so you can have an escape plan. They're called emergency funds because you're going to need it to get away. If you don't have a car, if you don't have a phone because it's been taken away from you, you got to have somewhere to have your emergency funds go to. And out of the house. There was a commercial that was brilliantly produced where a woman was hiding money in Tampax tampon. And it was beautiful because no one's going to think to go in there, but she had hundreds of dollars. She waited till her abuser went to sleep. She got out that money and she got out. It was brilliantly done. Brilliantly produced. It's vital to have your emergency funds. It's vital to have critical information about you, your birth certificates and stuff like that, in a safe place where your abuser can't get a hold of it. So when you have time to get out, whether it's your teen and you're living with this individual, whether you're an adult and you're with this individual, you need to be able to get out, and that's going to take money. And sometimes you just have to have faith because somebody will help you. And most of the time it's the people you don't even know.
Yes.
It's a ram in the bush.
I'm glad you mentioned both of those. Yes, the importance of a safe plan. You know, we would tell folks at Family Safety Center, you know, this is not the Lifetime channel. This is not a Lifetime movie. The ideal situation is for you to plan your exit, to plan it. So if your partner is at work, that's the time to leave.
That's also the most dangerous time. That's also the most dangerous time. So you got to think clearly.
You got to plan it out. And you brought up the need for emergency funds. In fact, that typically is the reason why many women will stay longer, because they don't have the funds. You know, money is real in a situation like that, because you're leaving and you don't want to have to come back. So you're going to have to figure out, right? how to get shelter, right? How to get around, right? And so all of those become, all of those things, all of those factors become part of that safety plan. You know, how am I going to support myself without his financial support? So again, I don't have to have contact with my abuser.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that it's a whole. Let's just say, people, since this is Cleopatra Memphis Studios, it's a whole script that you need to be planning for your exit. So remember, you are the director and producer of your own script in life. So plan it well. And I want to say thank you so much, Mrs. Ollyett, for coming, and for all of our listeners for listening. If you all have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 563-999-3596. That's 563-999-3596. Or you can email us at info@CleopatraMemphisStudios.org. You can get in contact with Ms. Ollyett. You can get contact with the 1-800 number that you can contact on thehotline.org, which is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-SAFE if you are experiencing any domestic violence that you need to be set free from. They can help you. But also give us a call. Let us know your thoughts on the show. Let us know your thoughts on your experience. And you never know, it may be on the big screen. So until next time, people, I want to say thank you, Mrs. Ollyett. And what do I always say, you all? Be great.